Brad Allen here with you. And as I mentioned earlier on, we are now going to be joined by the Motor Racing Network's Jeff Striegel. Jeff, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Absolutely. Happy to do it. I'm doing well. It's hard not to be happy and excited when you're down here in Daytona, at least for this week.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, of course, you have nothing but great racing. And you're at Daytona, so I'm sure your weather's better than ours here in Northeast Michigan right now.
Well, but I understand that you have spring up there, at least for a day.
Yeah.
It may be ending soon. But, you know, the weather, I'll tell you what, we don't come down here very often and look at a forecast, long-range forecast, and see no rain. But that's the way it is. At least at the moment, there is no rain on the forecast all the way through the 500. They're saying Sunday, 74, sunshine. Perfect for the Daytona 500.
Yeah, that's going to be an awesome race on Sunday that we look forward to. But yeah, 50 degrees in Northeast Michigan, so it works out. But of course, Jeff, you do have that Michigan connection. You're from this great Michigan state.
I am. The other side in Grand Rapids, but yeah. I know that you are home to the Whittemore Speedway over there, and I have been there on several occasions. So I'm absolutely familiar with your part of the country. Love it over there, and I'm sure a lot of the folks that are listening have probably paid a visit to Grand Rapids a time or two. So, yeah, we're pretty close.
Yeah, indeed. And, yeah, the Whittemore Raceway always up and kicking. So, typically when people think of racing, they think a whole lot of maybe the southern part of the country. So how's a guy from the Grand Rapids area end up getting into something like this?
Purely by chance. Berlin Raceway, that's my home, and I know that, again, a lot of your listeners are familiar with Berlin Raceway.
Right. And
I started out over there after actually racing, raised a family. When you raise a family, you probably can't race. I couldn't. So I decided to get involved in radio at Berlin, covering the races over there on a Saturday night. And the guy that I was co-hosting with at the time said, you know, you ought to just send a tape down to Motor Racing Network and see if you can get a audition. I did, and the rest is history. I start my 25th year here on Sunday.
Wow, that's got to be exciting stuff. Yeah, of course, you've been an awesome part of Michigan. I love every time that a NASCAR race is about to start and you get introduced as a guy from Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's always exciting. So I do always wonder, though, because as a guy who broadcasts a decent amount of sports in my own right, some sports are harder to call on the radio than others. And NASCAR is one that, of course, there's a lot that can be going on. What is the challenge of making NASCAR work on the radio?
Teamwork. You know, a lot of people that listen to us on a regular basis, because we try to have a seamless handoff from the booth where I am down to turn one, where Dave Moody will be on Sunday, down the back straightaway to Mike Bagley, over to turn four, Kyle Ricci, then three more people on pit road. And we'll often get the question, is somebody telling you when to go? Is there a light that comes on when you're supposed to talk? And the answer to both of those is no. We have live microphones. We work off of voice inflection, drop points, different things like that. And, you know, that famous trouble call, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on the racetrack. When you hear somebody bust in with trouble, turn one, so-and-so, trouble turn four, trouble on pit road, everybody will stop talking, because that obviously supersedes whatever we happen to be talking about at the time. So, you know, you've been a part of it. You understand teamwork, and we've got a great team. In fact, I'll tell you something that's crazy. I think for the most part, everybody that's on the broadcast coming up on Sunday has got 15 years or more. Dave Moody and Mike Bagley, over 30. Alex Hayden's in a booth with me. He's going 26 years. So we've been together a long time. We probably could, you know, tell you what that person's going to say. We know each other that well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big key to being able to make these things work, especially on the radio, because you can't tell anybody what's going on. So that works out. Let's get to the racing side of things. So, you know, last year was, well, just dominated by Kyle Larson. Talk a little bit about how good he was last year in your experience.
How good he was, or how good he continues to be. I'm just going to add that. Yes, he was fantastic last year, and I don't know that anybody expected what we saw from Kyle. We all knew that Kyle was good, and given the right opportunity, obviously that opportunity was to come back and join Hendrick Motorsports, who is, you know, one of the top organizations in all of NASCAR. Mm-hmm. When you take a driver with his talent, you put him together with a great team, good things happen, and he obviously had a great season, won the championship. There's no reason to think that they're going to slow down now, or quite honestly, anytime soon. So, you know, does he win here on Sunday? Don't know. He's going to battle 39 drivers for that opportunity, but I think over the course of the year, I think you're going to see Kyle have a similar season like he did this past year.
That would be impressive if he can have anything even remotely close to what he had last year. So there are the difference in tracks, of course. You have, you know, some of the super speedways like Daytona, but then you have, like you had last week at the L.A. Coliseum. How'd you feel about the L.A. Coliseum, the Busch Clash last week? Is that a good race? It was fun for me to watch, but was it a situation, was the track a little too small?
I don't think so. I mean, we're not going to do that every week, of course. You right. know, nobody wants to go run a quarter mile every single week, but I will tell you this, I loved it. I think everybody that was a part of our team, I think everybody that was there and in attendance loved it. What I've read on social media, it would appear as though most everybody found it to be highly entertaining. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they will fulfill the three-year obligation that we hear, and that they go back there at least two more times and then maybe pack it up and go someplace different. The thing that I will tell you is oftentimes you will see, read, hear, man, I wish the Cup cars could race at our track, like at Whittemore.
Yeah.
Well, that's as close to watching a Cup race at your backyard racetrack, your hometown racetrack.
Right.
Little quarter mile, little flat racetrack. What would the cars look like? How would they perform? And I think we saw exactly that play out when we were in L.A.
So it could be just the beginning of something when it comes to those. Now, there is a next generation, a newer car this year, correct?
Yes. Everything has changed. Absolutely everything has changed. The only thing that really remains the same is the engine, is the electronic dash, and basically the seat. Other than that, it is a 100% completely new race car. That's also what makes it difficult to predict what type of season one driver or another is going to have, because quite honestly, we may see an organization bring a bunch of cars to the racetrack, and maybe they've just missed it altogether, missed the setup. And we may see, you know, a Kevin Harvick or a Kyle Larson or a Chase Elliott struggle, mm-hmm. you know, for the first half of the season until they get the new car figured out. And quite honestly, we may see some of the teams that typically don't have cars that run up front, maybe they hit it right out of the, you know, right out of the garage. And those are the drivers that are winning early on. I think it sets up for a good storyline. Who's going to be good when we drop the green flag, not only here at Daytona, but
right.
obviously, as we move on to Auto Club and Phoenix and Vegas and on through the schedule.
Talking with Jeff Striegel of the Motor Racing Network. And so let's talk about Daytona. So obviously there's, you know, races in the Cup Series both tomorrow and on Sunday. You have the duel at Daytona tomorrow and then, the, you know, the big one, Daytona 500 on Sunday. Talk about the differences between those two races, you know, because I doubt we're just going to see the same race two times.
I don't think we're going to see anything near the same type of race we're going to see tomorrow compared to Sunday for one very good reason. We just talked about the new cars.
Mm-hmm.
These teams don't have a plethora of cars in their stable, back in their garage, like we've seen for years. So you take a team like Joe Gibbs Racing that runs the four Toyotas.
Mm-hmm.
They have four backup Toyotas here, but that is about all they have. Another example is Stewart Haas Racing, the team that Kevin Harvick drives for. They have four Ford Mustangs. Their backup cars are in Charlotte. They're hoping not to have to use those backup cars because the teams just don't have the number of cars that they've had in the past. So what does that mean for tomorrow? Probably everybody trying to stay out of a wreck is probably going to be calmer than what we've seen before on the Thursday races.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get done with that and we start dropping the green flag for the Daytona 500, all of that goes away. You know, if you bring the car home on the record, so be it, because you really don't care. You're here for one reason, and that is to celebrate in victory lane.
So what is it about the Daytona 500 that makes it, if it's not the biggest race of the year, one of the absolute biggest races of the year? What is so special about this one?
Well, history. I mean, who's been to Victory Lane before? The World Center of Speed, the Great American Race. We were talking to earlier today in the media center. Now, Jacques Villeneuve is not a NASCAR superstar. He has raced at the NASCAR level. He's a former world champion. And we asked him the same question that you just asked me. And he said there are the three big races in the world. You've got the 24-hour of Le Mans, you've got the Indianapolis 500, and you have the Daytona 500. That is why he is racing or trying to race his way in to the 500, because it's like the Indianapolis 500. It is the biggest stock car race in the world, and you know what? If it's the biggest race in the world, you want to win it.
Yeah, we're absolutely looking forward to it. So just a couple more here to wrap up with you, Jeff. So, one, obviously we're from Michigan. You know, what odds are you giving? I'm not going to make you pick a winner or anything. What odds are you giving Brad Keselowski to in the race on Sunday?
I'll give him high odds, and the reason is he's very good at Daytona and Talladega. He is hands down one of the best super speedway racers. He is now a car owner, as he bought into Roush Fenway Racing, or was given ownership opportunity, didn't buy into it. But, you know, you look at Joey Logano, you look at Denny Hamlin, and you put Brad Keselowski with them as well. If there's a favorite out there, Brad's name has to be near or at the top of the list.
Is there a racer or two that maybe people aren't talking about enough who's got a chance to win on Sunday?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. you know, you're talking about a dark horse, you know, not a Denny Hamlin, although Kyle Busch has never won it. Mm-hmm. He's certainly not a dark horse, but all you do have to do is go back a year ago and look at what Michael McDowell was able to do. He was, you know, he's on the other side of the garage, as we like to say. The big teams are on the front side of the garage. The smaller teams are on the back side of the garage. And he represented those lesser finance teams. Is that a good way to put it?
Right.
But, you know, it just goes to show you that if you can be around and take the white flag at Daytona, that's easier said than done. You probably have a pretty good shot of winning this thing. Then, of course, whatever happens on the final lap determines who goes to Victory Lane, of course. But Michael showed that, you know, not anybody can win it, because the man certainly has major super speedway talent. But I think he represents all of those that want to win. They look at Michael and realize that if they can put it all together, maybe they can win.
Jeff Striegel of the Motor Racing Network. Make sure you catch him with the Blue Green Vacations Duel at Daytona tomorrow beginning at 6 p.m. and also with the Daytona 500 on Sunday at 1:30 p.m. from the Motor Racing Network and right here on WKJC. Jeff, I really appreciate you taking some time. Thanks for taking the call, and good luck, and have a whole lot of fun the rest of the season.
I'm going to do that in any time. Enjoy the spring weather up there for at least the rest of the day. And
that's right.
Hopefully you and I can do this down the road.
I'd really like that, Jeff. Appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
Take care.
Jeff Striegel of the Motor Racing Network. Yeah, he's going to be all set for Daytona 500 on Sunday right here on your power station for sports.